I hope you're hungry today for what God has for you, and I'm going to share something that literally I tried to get ahead of God on. If you remember last week, I wanted to skip the first part of chapter number 8 just because I've probably preached so many messages out of it, I can't remember, but God brought me back. And I'll tell you this, and I said it last week, I'm going to say it again this week, don't ever discount a part of the Bible because you've studied it before. It's a living word. Go through it again. And last week, as I was just coming in, God developed that thought in me that they caught her in the act, but Jesus caught her from it. And so we talked about how God will catch you. You've been caught. You've been caught by his grace. You've been caught by his mercy, and how God wants to stand you back up. And right after Jesus does this in this lady's life, right after he sets this example of how the church shouldn't be a condemning place, but it should be a place where people that are walking in condemnation can get back up, he makes a verse, a statement that is really amplified throughout Scripture. And in our study of the book of John, we're going to hit one verse today. And it's the very next verse after this study of this woman that was caught in adultery. If you would, grab your Bibles, go to John chapter 8. Let's look at verse number 12. And I want you, once they get it on the screen and get it up there, because once again, they're going to have to stay with me. And I apologize, Keisha, but you do a great job. I want you to read this with me. You ready? Everybody, on the count of three, one, two, three, go. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to, say it, life. I am what? The light. Now, I want Andre to do me a favor. Andre, will you just go shut every door that's on the outside of the auditorium that comes into it? Yeah, those doors there, and then make your way around. We'll close the food room for now. All right, and we're gonna do something today. I'm going to tap back into an illustration that I've used before. But I think in our lives sometimes we get in trouble, don't we? And we talked about this earlier. It's easy to follow our own way. It's easy to get caught up in who we are. It's easy to get caught up in what's going on around us, so much so that we forget that God has given us a light. He's given us a way to follow. I mean, light is a healing thing in our life, is it not? I mean, let's be honest. How many of you in here are scared of the dark? My hand will go up first. I do not like the dark. I sleep with a light on every single night. I keep the TV on. People say you keep it on for entertainment. I keep it on because I'm scared of the dark. My daughter is scared of the dark. It's just the thing. I don't like to be in a dark place. People say, this is the time of year when they got all these houses that go on where you can go in and get scared. I don't need that. I just need to go into my own house and turn off the lights. All right, that's it. All right. And so the thing is I'm that person. The Bible says that men love darkness rather than light. You know why? Their deeds are evil. In other words, we don't like to be exposed. You know, Adam and Eve, when they first sinned, what did they do? They hid. You know, and by the way, the crazy thing is they weren't hiding well. They were hiding from the one who made the garden, who walked in the garden, who knew the garden, who made them, who walked with them and knew them. And so whether or not Adam and Eve ever wanted to say, God, we're hidden, he knew the bush of which to stand in front of and say, where are you? You know, and here's the thing. I think God's doing that in some of our lives today. I know he's doing it in mine, to where he's standing in front of us, and it's not about saying, hey, where are you, Josh? It's about God saying, hey, you feel lost where you are, but I'm still coming to where you are. You feel messed up where you are, but I'm here. The question of where are you is not for you to say, I'm hidden behind a bush, but for you and I to examine our lives and say, hey, where am I? I mean, where's the me that God made? Where's the version of me that has power and peace? Isn't it crazy? Two words that should never really flow together. Power, which exemplifies a conquering mindset, and peace, which exemplifies a humility mindset. And God says, hey, I came you to give you power, but I also came that you could have peace. In other words, it means this, that even with the most powerful truth, the most healing ointment, the most healing word that's ever existed in our planet, the thing that can conquer the greatest disease of sin, the king that can take a broken person and put them back together, a broken heart and give it hope, a broke down life and stand it back up. The word of God that we have that is powerful still is a word that in its power brings peace. Jesus didn't get into the boat and look at the storm and rebuke it with cursing and showing off his authority. He rebuked it with a word that we need spoken in our lives today. Peace, be still. By the way, here it is. I want you to break down that statement real quick. Ready? Peace comes from what? Being still. And we live in a world that says, go, go, go. Get it done, get it done, get it done. I just went to a conference and training for I flew out Monday, came back Thursday night, and the only reason I went is because I need guidance in how to bring my life back to a balanced level. Matter of fact, would you write this down? If you don't have balance in your life, you don't have peace. And balance comes from more than just, okay, I work hard and I love my family. That's not balance. Balance comes from, I work hard, I take care of myself and my health, I budget and take care of my finances, I have my family, but I also spend time with God. And the truth is this, there's five areas of your life that need balance. Write them down. This isn't part of the sermon, but let's get it. Number one, spiritual. You need a spiritual balance, do you not? That means a part of your day, each day, needs to be spent working on where you stand with God. If you're not doing that, your life's out of balance. A part of our day, each day, and believe me, before you sit up there and think I'm talking about you, and before you start adjusting your belt and thinking that we're talking about your weight, this is not what in shape looks like. There's nobody putting this on the front of a magazine, all right? So here it is. Understand this. Listen, you need to spend time each day working on your health. My wife gave me a statement that I hadn't thought of from a group that she's in. We talked about it last night. When we start looking at food as fuel instead of entertainment, then we change the way we eat. But until we realize that it's gas, it's not the show, we'll eat. And I don't know about you, eating's a hobby of mine. Anybody say me too? Come on. I do it for fun. Anybody say me too? I do it when I'm sad. Anybody say me too? We're out of balance. God did not put food on the earth so that we could just eat. You might, matter of fact, isn't it crazy that the same thing that can energize your life is the same thing that can take your energy if misused? All right, so she made that statement. There needs to be a balance in the way we work out each day, right? You got to take care of your health. What about family? How many of you, honestly, today, let's talk to the older generation. How many of you that are, let's define the older generation. If you've been in workplace, if you've had a job for more than 20 years, let's call you the older generation. That makes sense? Some of you, that means I'm 38, I'm in the older generation. I've had a job for more than 20 years. Everybody okay with that? That way we don't all pick on Tammy. All right, so here it is. Ready? All right. How many of you would trade some of the hours that you spent at work back to your family if you had a chance? Am I right? And so in that sense, sometimes we're out of balance. Do you need to work? Yes. The Bible says warn those that are being lazy, but is work all you need to be doing? No. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons I went, because I feel like I'm working all the time. And is it bad? Am I providing for my family? No, I'm not. God's providing through my effort. All right, let me put that back. All right, some of you sink that in. You think you're worth what you're worth because of what you do. You couldn't do what you do unless the worthy one put it in you. All right, and so everything we have, he gave us. And so let's praise God for that. God's providing through the efforts, but sometimes it's like, hey, whoa, when's enough enough? All right, enough's enough when I don't have to spend all the time. I don't have to buy all the time. I don't have to charge all the time. Living within our means, there's got to be a balance. So my finances need a balance. My family needs a balance. My spirituality needs a balance. My health needs a balance. And then my relationships with others need balance. If you don't have those five areas of your life that you're working on, then there's a part of your life that might feel like it's missing. If I were to ask you who you are, you might be the one that answers, I don't know. If I were to ask you what you enjoy in life, you might be the one that says, I don't know what I enjoy. I don't do anything for fun. You're out of balance. And if you're out of balance, you're out of peace. And it starts to get anxious. You start to doubt. You start to have a lot of fear. Come on now. Anybody say, that's me? I'll raise my hand. That's me. Because there needs to be a healthy balance. By the way, healthy balance starts with a foundation. God is your foundation. And without that in your life, you're on sinking sand. And that means that no matter how hard you work, it's like this. If you're standing on sinking sand, meaning this, you're building your house on your own ideas, your own opinions, the opinions of others, or the expectations of others, that means you've got a foundation that you're building on that is unstable. And I'll promise you this, the more you build, the heavier the load, the faster you sink. And you say, I'm getting ahead, I'm getting over your head. And then you're wondering where you're at. Put God on the foundation and know that you're not going to go wrong seeking God. And that's what Jesus said. I'm the light. You don't have to walk in darkness. You don't have to walk in fear. You don't have to walk trying to figure everything out. You don't have to be in control of your life today. And for our type A personalities, that's very hard. Yeah, because I feel like if I'm not, anybody, come on, who's the control freaks in the room? Raise your hands. Come on, get them up. They're going up. They're going up slow. Everybody look around. These are the people that can lose their temper very fast. No, I'm just kidding. These are the people that want expectations done. They set a level. Is it bad to be a type A? No. Is it bad to be, is there a type D? What is D? They're just lazy. Is that what you said? D's just lazy. All right. Is it okay to have the D's? Yeah. You know what? Sometimes the type A needs the other person to step into their life and say, calm down. Yeah, take a breath. It's not the end of the world. Then the type A has to go through this motion of, I'm not going to hit him. I'm not going to hit him. You know? And the type D is just like, life is great. And we're like, what planet are you on? You know? Hey, listen, here's the thing. Type A, type B, type D, type Z, whatever type you are, if you are not of the blood type of God, your type will mess you up. But you know what? God made you the personality you are. Type A's run businesses. Type A's keep things on schedule. Type A's are the reason you don't have to stand in line because they've thought out the line process, right? And if they're the one in the line where the line hasn't been thought out, they're thinking out how better it could have been. You need that. Type B's are the one that says this line is not the end of the world, right? Like, this isn't, like, you're not going to lose your life today. Here, we need those balances. But Jesus said, hey, look, your opinion is not the light of the world. Somebody else's opinion of you is not the light of the world. I'm the light. I'm the light. You know what he was trying to teach them? And the rest of chapter 8 is about this. He's trying to teach them that he is God. Hey, trust me. And they were like, who are you? You're speaking as if you're something you're not. Pharisees immediately jump all over it saying, you have no right to give a testimony. He's saying, hey, I only do the things that my father sent me to do. How many of us can write that in our journal today? I only did the things that God asked me to do. Oh man, I only said the things that God asked me to say. If I had to keep a check mark, a green check mark on every day of the calendar that was the truth of my life, I'd have a lot of red X's. Anybody else? Nobody else can stand in this place and say, I've only been the husband that God would have been. Because your wife would stand up right after you and say, he's full of a demon. You know, like, it's not true. But they looked at Jesus in his perfection and said, you got a demon in you, you Samaritan. Their logic doesn't even make sense. Because in the chapter before, he just cast out their demons. In the chapter before, he just helped people. Hey, he's not a Samaritan. They knew he was from Nazareth, but they wanted to put him in the low of the low. Their opinion was like, you're a dog. That's what they said. You're worthless. Because that's what a Samaritan was. You know why? Because Jesus had a foundation of who his power came through, and it was the Father. He said, I'm going to stand here, and I only do what my Father tells me to do. And one day he tells him, you're going to nail me on a cross. I'm going to go to a place you can't go. And they started saying, is he suicidal? He's going to go somewhere that I can't go? Is he going to kill himself? Yeah. Hey, listen, I heard this quote this week. There's a lot of people that are in your life that are not qualified to hear the dreams that you have for your life. There's a lot of people that are in your life today that you shouldn't be throwing out everything to. The Bible says, don't cast your pearls before the swine. Why? They'll trample over it and they'll come back at you. You know, some of you want to change your life and your buddies don't want it changed. And so every time you dream a dream that's bigger than their possibilities, they start trying to rob the dream. But Jesus says, I'm the light, baby. Come on. You got a passion in your heart. You got a vision in your heart. You got a ministry in your heart. I'm the light. So today I'm going to do a little something. I did this years ago on a Wednesday night. I don't think I've ever done it on a Sunday, but we're going to give it a shot. I have my wife bring me some tools. We're going to see if I actually know how to use them. All right. So far, I'm 2 for 2. I don't know where this button is. There it is. Okay. We're going to do a visual lesson today, and it might not translate very well online, and I apologize for that. But we're going to try something to show you a little bit of an analogy of what Jesus was trying to say. You ready for it? Kill all the lights. Leave a little bit of light over the stairs and leave the strip lights on. All right, DJ, kill the screens. If you can. We're gonna go to as dark as we can. Hey, Joe, turn around behind you and then take down the sound booth light to the dimmest possible setting you can have where there's still a little bit of light. I want you to be able to see. Now, for lawsuit purposes, and I don't wanna be sued, everybody freeze for just a moment and let's bring up a little bit of the strand of lights that's over the stairs. All right? This is a move at your own risk. Everybody sign a waiver, all right? Move at your own risk. In our lives, I don't know about you, but sometimes I totally feel like in my head, it gets very clouded. You know, you're gonna have to talk to me today because I really can't see you, right? How many of you sometimes feel inadequate when it comes to the things you want to accomplish? Inadequate means you fall short. Say me. How many of you wish you were a better husband in the place, guys? Say me. Wives, how many of you say, I wish I was a better wife? Say me. How many of you try your absolute hardest and still feel like no matter how hard you try, you just keep hitting a wall? Say me. Yeah. Anybody else giving up a sin in their life only to find that the tempter comes with something else? Say me. Anybody else feel like that the people that know the worst in you want the worst in you to be all that there is to you, but there's a God that wants to better in you and you just don't know how to listen to him over them? Say me. Yeah, it's there. Sometimes in life, it can feel completely dark and it can feel completely hopeless. And Jesus stepped into a world that had to bring their goats and their sheep. He stepped into a world that you had to bring burnt offerings and sacrifices. You had to go to the temple with something to give. You had to go to something, and not something to give so that you could put in your tithe and offering, something to give so that you could gain entrance to salvation, something to give so that you could stay right with God. Going to church was not a let's wear our best. Going to church was I'm about to get covered in blood. They're about to take my best lamb. They're about to take, and by the way, to own a lamb was not an easy thing to do. And to keep a lamb from ever getting a scar or a blemish or any kind of bruise is not easy to do. You had to baby that thing. You had to nurture that thing. This week we had to put down a dog, and I can't even talk about it without bawling my eyes out because that dog meant so much to me. And I promise you this, the reason that dog meant so much to me is so how much effort we put in. But can you imagine? You had to literally nurse a lamb, protect a lamb, keep a lamb. You got attached to the lamb. And then in order for you to get right from your sins, you had to take that lamb and let them kill it. So when you went to church, it's because of how dark your life was. And then all of a sudden you get to church one day, because that's where Jesus was, and there's a man standing there saying, I'm the light. And all of a sudden you're standing in front of somebody that you can't understand. What are you talking about? You're the light? Who do you think you are? Like, this is my life over here, and this is how hard life is over here, but you're saying you're better than me? You're standing in the same place that I have to stand in, and you're saying that you're the answer to my problems, that you're the savior of my sins. No, you can't be the light. A lot of people just reach over and they try to extinguish that. Ah, let's shelter him a little bit. No, I don't want you at all. That's why they killed him. Because the presence of him, whew, man, that makes me exposed, doesn't it? The presence of him, I'm not that. I can't be that. And Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And if you walked in me, you wouldn't have to walk in darkness. And if you followed me, I would lead you to life. And so they have to stand and make a choice. Am I going to focus on this that really doesn't fit into the situation that I'm in? It really is different from the rest of my atmosphere. And some of you today, God's showing up. The Bible says in Revelations, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And by the way, that message was not for lost people. If you read that chapter of Revelations, it's talking to believers. It's talking to the church. I'm standing at the door knocking. And if anyone will hear my voice, and we sang a song, do you hear the voice that's calling? That there's something better. There's a table set for you. You know what that analogy is? The Bible says David wrote, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. He also wrote that he prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. And that table in the Bible represents a place that you can sit down and find what you need. You can sit down and get your nourishment. Today you'll go to lunch. And the reason you're going to lunch is because your body needs calories. Your body needs the healthy fats and the vitamins and the proteins. Your muscles, they scream for it. Your blood needs fueled by it. And if you put the right things in, you become healthy. And so in the Bible, God says this, Jesus declared it, I'm the bread of life, I'm the water, I'm the vine, I'm the fruit, I'm everything. He tells us and invites us to eat. In other words, he says, consume me. And when God says, I've got a table for you, what he's saying is, hey, I've got a place that you can sit down. Isn't that a good thing? How many of you would say, I would benefit greatly every now and then from a nap? Say me. Yeah, wow, y'all were more emphatic on that than anything else. I know the lights are out. Do not take your nap now, all right? Here's the truth. Jesus says, I've got a place you can sit. My mother-in-law's in town. I get fat every time my mother-in-law's in town. You need a good diet? Don't hang out with my mother-in-law, right? If you're skinny and you're not eating, come over for dinner. The other day, she made a couple types of soup. They were both amazing. So she helped me. She said, hey, I want you to try this soup. So I ate that soup. Now try this soup. So I ate that soup. Which soup did you like? I like the other one. So she gave me another bowl. Three bowls in one setting. Every time. And I have to watch myself because I walk in the door and my mother-in-law, she's wonderful. She'll say, are you hungry? What do you want to eat? And when my mother-in-law's in town, I get a little bit more lazy because I sit there and it's almost like I'm at a restaurant. I'm like, what do you got? We got this, 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 and this. I made strombolis. I got this. And the next thing you know, it's warmed up, sitting on a plate, ready for me. Hey, your food's ready. She walked up yesterday morning, looked at my wife and says, do you want biscuits and gravy? I'm sitting there and saying, please say yes, please say yes, please say yes. You know what I mean? Like, you know what that is? Hey, can I give you this? It's an illustration of Jesus. Here it is. Ready? He did all the work so that you could sit down. He did all the work so that you could find rest. He did all the work so that you could sit and not only sit, have supply. And some of us today are starving because the table just seems too easy. We live in a world that says, I love you based on your performance. I love you based on what you can do. I love you based on what you can bring. I love you based on your beauty. I love you based on your talent. I'll pay for your ticket if you're good enough. I'll care about you if you fit into my mold. And then all of a sudden, there's a Savior that shows up and says, I'm the light, and all I need you to do is just be in me. I'm the food, and all I need you to do is just sit. I'm the water, and all I need you to do is take a drink. In other words, he's saying, hey, you need to be loved? Sit down and let me love you. Hey, you need purpose? Sit down. You're significant. And even if the world spends the rest of your life telling you how worthless you are, you matter in heaven. And in the end, heaven is all that's going to matter. And he says, come, come, come. But that's too easy. Can I tell you this now? Stepping into grace is easier than stepping into sin. Because there's nothing you have to do. Because he did the work. You just got to have the faith to sit at the table. You got to have the faith to be honest, the faith to believe, the faith to confess, and the faith to know that you need help. The faith to say, not only do I need help, but he's the only help. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. And no one gets to the Father but by him. Are you with me today, church? Say amen. Amen. But yet I get my own efforts. If you're single, you might be trying to find your life partner, forgetting that God made Adam a pillow to take a nap on while God did the work on the woman that Adam would need to fulfill his dreams. And you may be the one sitting here saying, I'm so scared. My job, my current job's not going to pay for my finances. And yet Adam one day took his first breath in a garden that was already made. He ate fruit that was already grown. He had a fellowship that was already available. And yet somehow Satan says, you got to. And Jesus says, I did. Just trust me. So I wrote down a few things that the light does, right? Number one, it illuminates. Write it down. He says they won't have to walk in darkness. In other words, hey, listen, if you're confused today about a decision you need to make, it's time to take that decision to God. If you need to make a decision and you haven't really thought it through and you're not even confused yet, it's time to take that through God. James teaches us that if any lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and will not withhold. You say, but I am. There is no but about you in that verse. Matter of fact, understand this. Stop lowering God to the level of which you and I are able to process. In other words, we say, you know, I need wisdom, but I'm a sinner. God knew you would need wisdom because you're a sinner. Because the only way to get rid of sin is the wisdom of God. Wisdom is the knowledge and understanding that can only come from him. And so God says, hey, you can't get past your sin. The wages of your sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. And he said, hey, just trust me. So God says, hey, I want to step in. And Jesus says, I'll illuminate so you don't have to walk in darkness. But I want you to understand this analogy. And I want you to get this very clearly. And matter of fact, in order to get it very clearly, I'm going to mess with you. All right, now I want everybody to freeze. Nobody move. Anybody really got to go to the bathroom? That person right there? We'll highlight you. Can you see? This is the most embarrassing moment for Tina. There she is. All right. Now, Tina, when you come out, it might be a little bit darker, so stay put, and then we'll turn on some lights, okay? Kill the sides, if you would. And I want you to get this, and I want you to understand. While I'm standing here, even when I'm not looking at the light's messing me up, all right? It's shining on me. If I put the light right in your face, and you stare at the light, eventually when I take the light away, it's still there. Right? Anybody else want to try? Stick a hand in the air. We'll play a little flashlight tag. All right, what about it, Rachel? What about it up there? There's Joe. What do you think? When you look away, it's all you see. You know, I once told the church this on a Wednesday night. Maybe if we looked at the light long enough before we looked at people, we would see the light in the people before we got the light there instead of seeing the person. Maybe if we were looking to Jesus and saying, okay, you are, but this guy's such a jerk. You God, like, why do I have to be nice to him at work? Like, why can't I tell him exactly how I feel? Like, why can't I punch him in the face just once? Like, knock him out. I'm saying, I'm going to introduce you to Jesus. You know, like, why am I not? But the truth is the longer I look, oh my goodness, I can't even see you. All I see is that square. And the light, I see your silhouette, but I see the light. Hey, you know what? Start imagining what God could do in somebody's life before they even know him. Start seeing the possibilities of him. And you're not going to see the possibilities of God in other people until you see the possibilities of God for yourself. You're not going to want the goodness of God for other people until you get the goodness of God for you. There's a person that's been a very big critic of mine, extremely loud, extremely vocal on social media, and just tearing me down all the time and putting my junk out there for everybody to see. My wife walks in the bathroom last night and says, hey, so-and-so might be coming to trunk or treat. I was like, what? Yeah, I thought you should know. You know what she said next? If they show up, you should probably apologize. I was like, what? Like, I mean, my voice is going to get a little bit squeaky on that. Like, what? I got to apologize? Yes, because you hurt them. What you did hurt them. And if you see them, you're going to have an opportunity to show them the grace of God. But you might want to apologize. And then just calmly walks out of the bathroom. I'm like, who do you think you are? I go, let me find the person in your life and bring them and say, okay, be nice. But the truth is this. That's somebody that has the light in them. Because my will, my way, my desire, ooh, it's not nice to people sometimes. My will, my way, my desire will step on people sometimes for my own success. My will, my way, my desires, I want to be a Pharisee instead of being fair. I want to be the best in the room. That's what you're a demon, Jesus. Why? Because they wanted to be the godly. And you know what happened? Is trying to be the godliest, they were looking in the face of God and had no clue it was him. And he says, hey, you don't have to walk in this darkness. Hey, not only is it that I only see the light, but the truth is this, that if I focus on the light, it's brighter than you thought, isn't it? If I'm staring that down, man, now I can see all of you. You still have the light because I still see these little dots all in my face. If I focus on the light, and I want you to do this, okay? You're further enough away, it might not hurt you as much. I want you to stare right at it. When you're focused here, it's hard to see what's going on over here. Something's happening, but it's not going to get you. Why? Because your focus is here. I believe we're living in a world of Democrats and Republicans, a world of anti-hate and total hate, a world of my opinion. And if you don't like my opinion, I don't like you. We're living in a world that hates because of the color of a skin. We're living in a world that hates because religion. We're living in a world that hates because of social status or where you live or what you do or what you drive. You're either in or you're out. That's the world we live in. And you know what? Satan's over here just distracting, trying to imitate the light as much as he can, but he's not the light. And if you have a focus on on the light, if you have a focus on who he is, if you can see clearly who God is and keep your eyes there, you can't see what the enemy is trying to do over here or where he's trying to get you to go or where he's trying to get you to be. We got too many Christians that are so distracted by the world that we forget that there's a king that has already come and conquered the world that we live in today. Too many that are scared of what's going on here that we forget that even in the midst of total darkness, there's hope, there's a light, there's a way, there's a truth, there's something that can radically change you and change them too. And as a result, we stand by and we say to ourselves, let me stay here. Over here, I'm safe. You know why we're so picky with praise team? Not because of talent. Because talent is not the number one thing that's important in being on a praise team. You know what's the most important thing about being on a praise team? Being able to praise. Being able to worship. There's a lot of places that only want to put what looks the best in the light. But you know what God's light came to do? To seek out the ones that weren't the best and bring them to a place where they could become better. When I'm looking at the light and I'm in the light and I'm walking in the light, it's hard for me to see what everybody else is doing. I mean, literally, right now, if I'm staring here, I can't even see who's sitting on the front row. Can I give you a point? If you're taking notes on your phone, you're probably able to write this down. If not, it's going to be a little bit hard. Go back and watch it later. Take notes off Facebook. But if you're at a point in your life right now where there's confusion and you don't understand, don't know what to do, there's a good chance you're not looking at the light. There's another verse that he gives us. I want you to understand this one. Get this one in your arsenal too. It says in Psalms, or chapter 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. In other words, it's not that the light just gives me somewhere to look that removes the distractions and removes the fear. It's not that the light just gives me something that makes it to where it's hard to see what everybody else is doing. By the way, if you're doing what everybody else is doing, you're probably doing something wrong, because if the majority is doing it, it's probably not what God wants to do. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. What's the Bible say about the narrow path that leads to life, to righteousness? All right, so understand this. My job, your job, is to stay here. Is my wife in the room? Okay, baby, if you're in the mother's room, I know you got Grayson, she's probably nursing. If you're not nursing, can you come out? Dun, 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 dun. Wait a minute. That's not my wife. All right, here we go. I still can't see. Is that my wife? That is my wife, all right. I still see the light. He's asleep. All right, come up here. I don't want you to stand in the light, though. Okay, I'm going to get it out of his face. All right. I believe that this is where you should meet your spouse, by the way. My counselor said it this way. I shared it with Garrett this week. If she's pursuing Christ and you're pursuing Christ, you're not going to get to Christ and be divided. You're going to get to Christ and be together, because Christ isn't going to reject himself. But as close as she is to Christ right now, if I'm not careful, my focus will shift over here. And I'll try to please this. I'll try to please her. And can I tell you this? I'll never be enough man to meet every emotional need she's going to have. She's never going to be enough woman. Why? Because it takes perfection to heal the hurts of others. We're not perfect. By the way, stop trying to have a perfect marriage and stop believing that everything you see on Facebook is real. Those marriages aren't real if they're acting like it's perfect all the time. Sometimes we need each other to understand that, hey, you know what? I have weaknesses where my wife has strengths. I have strengths where she has weaknesses. It's not fair because she seems to have more strengths than weaknesses. But the truth is that if I'm not careful, I'll stop looking at this and start looking at this. And when I'm not focused on this and I start looking at this, then we try to lead our lives and we will mess it up. Some of you are trying so hard to get a better marriage by doing self-help things, which, okay, listen, you should better yourself, right? You should better your walk. You should better your standing. You should better the things that are in your life. But the problem is this: you're never going to be perfect all the time. And if you're trying to better yourself through what you are able to do, your abilities are going to run out. Your willpower will run out. If you don't believe that, diet. Your willpower will run out. Amen. If you're an addict and you're saying, I'm going to get clean, but you're not putting Jesus in there with his brush to paint and clean, to dust and to cleanse, you are going to get tired of trying to be clean. You're going to get tired of trying to be a good husband, trying to be a good wife. And that's why you should not be pursuing being the best boss, being the best employee, being the best Christian, being the best mom, being the best dad. Only thing you should be pursuing, according to Jesus in this passage, is him. Hey, I want to know you, and I want to do what you want me to do. Your word is a lamp so that I can see the next step to take. How many of you have ever been camping? Okay, I don't even have a clue who raised their hand, right? Like, the truth is this. I remember back before we had LED. Y'all remember those days, right? Where you actually had to take a kerosene lamp. That literally by the end of your camping trip, you're going to have a burn somewhere on your body. Y'all know this? And you would take it. We didn't have the ability to take and shine all the way across. We didn't have the ability to light up way down. We had flashlights that had little bulbs in it, but they were very dim. Anybody remember those? And like, you could see a little bit. And the truth is this. If you are walking through dark woods, back me up, Joe, K-O-Z. If I'm walking through the woods at dark and I've only got my flashlight up, I'm in trouble because a snake could be right there. That's the number one danger, right? But what about the root system of a tree that's grown across my path? Hey, can I tell you this? Some of us have people in our social networks. Some of us have people in a close radius of ourselves that if we're not careful, the roots from where they've planted will infiltrate the path of which God's called us, and they will trip us up on the path of which we're supposed to be on because they're rooted off the path in a place they shouldn't be. Come on now. I've done that to you. I've rooted myself in places I shouldn't root, and it tripped you up. The Bible says don't be a stumbling block, but I'm going to tell you this now. If you're going to go on a journey, stop trying to figure out where you're going and find out where you need to go next. Yeah. And if you're going to be safe in the woods, it looks like this. Am I right? With the occasional stop in this. You hear somebody, a woman screaming in the woods, probably a panther. That's what they told me. I remember when I was younger, and baby, you can go back. Thank you. Here, hang, let me. Isn't she beautiful, though, by the way? Like, there you go. All right, here we go. I'm going to give you steps. You're welcome. Be safe. Here we go. Remember when I was a young boy in Kentucky, staying at my grandparents' house, all the cousins would come together. There was like 18 of us. The boys weren't allowed to stay with the girl cousins, so the girl cousins would stay in my grandpa and my grandma's house, and the boy cousins would have to stay at a trailer 2 acres away. In between the 2 acres was a cornfield, a couple barns. He had a farm. I was a scaredy cat. Can you believe that? And so if those of you that know me are like, yeah. Those of you that don't know me are like, no, never, right? Like, I was so scared that I couldn't sleep at night, and I had this problem of being a bedwetter. So nobody wanted me to stay with them. We camped outside, the tent was flooded the next day. You know, if we slept, and so they would tell me these horror stories. So one night they wanted me to go back to my mom and dad. And so they told me that the scarecrow in my grandpa's garden would come alive. And that one time the scarecrow came alive and came out and, you know, it just killed a community, did some things and all this other stuff. And every now and then on a certain night, you can hear that scarecrow knocking on the window. And so they were so over me that two of my cousins were outside and they were by the trailer. The other ones were in the garden. And one of them had dressed up like the scarecrow and was standing on a stool. They took down the scarecrow. And so they said that you got to watch the scarecrow, but you need to go back to your parents. So they had my parents and everybody, aunts and uncles, in on this. They told me that I needed to call over. I called over my mom. I'm sobbing like there's the scarecrow's going to get me. And she's like, no, the scarecrow's not going to get you. I got to come sleep with y'all. Okay, come on. And so I got out. I started walking. I'm looking at that scarecrow. Right? All of a sudden, I get halfway across the garden and the scarecrow gets down. And now I'm hightailing. And the scarecrow jumps out, grabs me, and yanks me in the garden. Y'all say, he's a scaredy cat. They made me this way. I was sharing with somebody the other day. Why are you so scared of snakes? Because when I was 6, I was playing Cowboys and Indians. Back when that was socially acceptable. And my brother told me to grab the jump rope that was up by the house. So I ran up to the house and I reached down and I got about as close to the stair as this to the snake. And he threw a rock at it. And that snake turned around right at my hand. And from that moment on, we've not had a good relationship. I'll tell you, fear can be consuming, right? And a lot of times people can cast their fear on you. A lot of times their opinions of you, you're worthless, you'll never be. Some of the foster kids sitting in this church today, listen to me. You may feel like you're unlovable because your parents made a choice that chose a different direction than you. That's not true. You're not unlovable. You're not the problem. Hey, can I tell you, some of you are afraid today to take a next step. And if you're not careful, the church will even make you feel like you're not godly because you have fear. But the Son of God himself had fear. And you need to hear that. That in his darkest day, he didn't want to be alone. In Gethsemane, he wanted somebody there with him, and he didn't want to take on what he was about to take on. If you're scared today, you're not messed up. You just need to get to the light. You just need to get to a place to where, hey, you know what? The scarecrow might be running out of the garden, but you don't see it. Hey, somebody might be chasing you down, but you don't see it. Your boss might be after you. They might be after your job, but it doesn't matter because wherever there's light, there's peace. When I look at the light, I don't see the danger. But when I look at the danger, it's hard to see the light. There's a verse in Psalm 23 where it says this, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Here's another thing that the light does. Number one, it makes it to where you can't see the distractions around you, right? Number two, it brings peace. It exposes you to where you can get clean. You can see what needs to come off. Jesus doesn't step into your life to condemn you. Matter of fact, in John 8, he said, "I could stand here and condemn you, but that's not what I came for." He said, "I can come to set you free." Isn't that what John 8 says? "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And the disciples looked at him and said, "We've never been a slave." He said, "You're a slave to sin, but I'm here so that you will know the Son. And if the Son has set you free, you're free indeed." In other words, he's saying, "Hey, I'm going to break into your darkness. I'm going to show you what's nasty so that you can get clean." Anybody ever had to take a shower in the dark, cut your hair in the dark, clip your nails in the dark? Anybody try to get ready in the dark? Normally what happens? You trip over something, right? You mess something up. Try it. Go in your bathroom, shut out all the lights. Get up before the sun tomorrow. And I want you to put your makeup on without a single light. I want you to comb your hair without a single light. And whatever you get, whatever the result is, I want you to live with it the rest of the day. Now, how many of you would actually do that? Say me. Yeah, 4 of you. And half of you are lying. All right, the thing is this. Here it is. The truth is, we turn on the light so that we can get ready. I'm telling you this now, Jesus is coming back. The world's getting closer and closer to the end. Hey, there's redemption and it's drawing nigh. He's coming. It's time for the church to turn on the light and get ready. It's time for the church to say, "Hey, when I turn on the light, I see what needs to be made right." Maybe your language needs a little cleaned up. Maybe your lifestyle needs a little cleaned up. Maybe you need to, you're never going to know how to clean it until you get to the light. It exposes us. But the light also keeps me realistic. Now I want to show you something. I'm almost done. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadows." I've learned this. Shadows are always bigger than the object. The further you get from the light, the smaller the shadow. Oh, here's what's beautiful. The closer you get to the light, the bigger the shadow. Do you know why Satan got kicked out of heaven? Because he wanted the throne. And ever since that moment, he's tried to imitate God. He wants to be him. So that's why he shows up to Eve with, "You're not going to die. Did God say that? You won't die." He tried to be the God of her life. He messed her life up. The Bible says he's a murderer. Matter of fact, in John 8, Jesus gives a 3-part description of who Satan is. He's a murderer. He's a liar. And he hates the truth. He's a murderer. He's a liar. And he hates the truth. That's why he hates you. Because Jesus said he is the truth. And you know where Jesus lives? In you. You got a truth that'll set people free. When I'm looking at the light, I can't see the shadow. When I'm looking at the shadow, I see parts of the light. But my goodness, how scary is that? My problems seem big. Would you agree with me that my shadow's a little bit taller than me right now? Please agree with this. Would you agree with me that my shadow's a little fatter than me right now? Yes. Y'all laughed. You didn't agree. Come on. Thank you. It is. But if I'm honest with you, I have Jesus in my life. I know that. I have Jesus in my heart. But I find myself looking at Jesus this way a lot more than I find myself looking at Jesus this way. And this way, it doesn't matter how big that is. Because I don't see it. But this way, man, he looks very dim. And this looks very scary. 87% of the things you worry about never happen. And you know what worry is? It's looking at the shadow. I did a whole series, and this is where we use this illustration, on a Wednesday night on Psalm 23, where we broke it down for months on Psalm 23. Think about this verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know why it's a shadow? David declared it this way. Oh, death, where is your sting? And grave, where is your victory? But thanks be to God who has given us the victory through Jesus Christ, through our Savior and our Lord. You know what he said? Hey, even though I'm walking through this thing that's scary, I don't have to fear it because I have the light. And when the light is what I love, it's just a shadow. Some of us are like Peter Pan looking for a shadow. I can't even hear you. I can't hear you. I'm so sorry. I just know this. Like, I feel like in America right now, the church is looking at this. 24 days left of diesel. How scary is that? Food shortages. How scary is that? Man, we kill our own people in the streets because we disagree. A guy was reading his Bible at a protest the other day, and they ran up and ripped it into shreds and ate it. Ate it. Wow, what kind of world are we living in? When I look around, I see a shadow over there. I see a shadow over there. And I start thinking about my little babies, 8 years old, 3 years old, 8 months old. What kind of world are they going to live up in? What kind of future are they going to have? And I get scared. Anybody else say me in here? Yeah, but God's saying you're in the valley of shadows, but you don't have to fear any evil because I am with you. My rod and my staff, they comfort. You know, I know this, and I've heard this. I've even preached this. The rod was made for discipline. And the staff was made for rescue. But the truth is this, can we expand this? Can we stop preaching that God just wants to wear you out all the time? Because God wants to pick you up, not wear you out. God wants to lift you, not abandon you. Can we get a reality that the rod might not be for you? Whew. The staff might be for you. And the rod might be for the enemy that's coming after you. The rod might be for that lion that's going to come out of the weeds. The rod might be for that bear that's going to come out of nowhere. The rod might be for the wolf that comes in sheep's clothing. Hey, his rod and his staff, they're defending you. If you fall down, he'll pick you up. If the enemy shows up, he'll beat him down. Hey, death has no sting. Why? Because when I die, I just go to the light. And if you're at the end of your life and they're telling you to stop running to the light, I'm going to tell you, get there. Go. If you see him, get to him as fast as you can. Why? Because man, heaven's going to be sweet. But I don't want to be a person that's following the shadows and saying, man, my giants are big. But Jesus said, don't look there. Look here. And then he does something radical. This is it. In Matthew, he uses a verse. I don't even know if I can read this. I'm so blind right now. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, he says this: "You are the light of the world." Whoa, wait a minute. I like it better when you're the light, because then all I have to do is stay near you. But Jesus says this isn't enough. He said, "You are the light of the world, that is like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hid. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone that's in the house. In the same way, let your light, your good deeds, let them shine before men for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Get this. He brings us to the light, not for us to stay stuck at the light, but to get focused on it, to let the light light our path and to let it show us where to go, to give us direction and to give us guidance. But then he says, hey, there's other people in the house too. And you remember how earlier I said, I can't see you because all I can see is the light? Jesus said, I am the light, but I need you to become the light, because when you become the light, now other people can see, and now other people get a chance, and you show them your good deeds and you're showing them the Father, and they're not in darkness anymore because there's a light coming out of you. And I'm telling you now, there's too much darkness in the church, and all that's coming out of the church is darkness, and we need people to say, hey, I'm going to be the light that God has called me to be, and I'm going to shine it, and I'm going to broadcast it. And if you're anything like me, my light sometimes is broad and my light sometimes shoots out, and God starts to fine tune it and hone it in to where I can actually say, okay, there's somebody I'm called to. There's somebody that God loves. There's somebody that God wants me to reach. I'm telling you now, and I want you to get this more than ever, we need a church that not only is focused on the lights and away from the shadows, not only exposed and getting clean. If my people, which are called from my name, will humble themselves. Humility is to stand before the light and say, this is me, just as I am. This is who I am. I'm not going to be anything different, God. I'm going to come to you. You say, well, I need to get clean before I come to God. How can you get clean until God shows you what needs to go? And we need people that say, hey, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to repent of my sins. I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe. And God says that you become the light that everybody else sees. You become the light that shows others how they can get to God. And it's time for the church to start doing things. Write it down if you can see it. Your good deeds are your ways you talk. How do you talk to others and about them? Your giving. And I'm not talking to your church. What do you do for other people? Who's benefiting because you're alive today? Whose life is better because you exist? Who's coming to Jesus and seeing the light? Because it's shining in what you do. Your light is how you treat others at work, how you treat them at school. Your good deeds are how you're growing in your family. Maybe I'm bad. We're starting to get trashed over the fact that we're having a trunk or treat tonight. People are saying you're celebrating Satan because you're having trunk or treat. Can I take your Pharisee mind for just a second and speak to it? I'm so tired of Christians saying, well, when you go to parties, you get high. If that's the case, start having the party that nobody gets high at. Ho! Am I right? Well, yeah, well, you shouldn't celebrate. We're not celebrating Halloween. I could care less about Halloween. But I am going to make sure there's a place that our kids and our teenagers can go that they're not going to get fentanyl in their nerds. And I am going to make sure that there's a place to where our teenagers aren't going to go party and have a Narcan party to where, hey, somebody has to stay a little bit more less high so that the people that die get Narcan. That's what a Narcan party is, and it happens in Jeff County all the time. And you're sitting there and you're saying, well, you shouldn't do this. I'm so tired of the church sitting down saying what we shouldn't do while Satan's doing whatever he wants to with our families. And the Bible says, hey, let your light shine. It doesn't shine when you're not doing anything with it. It shines when you say, hey, I'm not perfect, but I got Jesus. I'm not good, but he is. I don't have all the answers, but come to him. And those that come to him, he will not cast out. What a beautiful thing today. And Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. You don't have to walk in darkness. You can walk in light. And I love it. In the statement of you are the light of the world, he made us equal with him. and gave us the opportunity of heaven. We can share it. Now, I want you to close your eyes. Two reasons. You're going to want to do this because we're about to bring up the lights very slowly. Some of y'all need to learn this, by the way. Matter of fact, before you close your eyes, can you look at me? Stop trying to be too much. You need to tell people about Jesus, but stop beating them up with Jesus. You know, I will say this, and I had somebody who disagreed with this last week. I prayed over it, and I feel like it needs to be said again. God doesn't give you a right to be a jerk with the gospel. Sure, there are people in this church that if we knew what they were doing, they would be embarrassed and we would be hurt. But God knows what they're doing and has an antidote. So stop telling everybody else what they're doing. Start talking to God about what they're doing and let them know that they could take it to God and God will help them stop doing it. Yeah. I told somebody the other day, it's like, I don't need you to feel like you got to be totally right with God to be saved. I need you to understand that just get to God. We actually messaged this to somebody who's living a lifestyle and they're asking questions. And the answer is not, hey, we're going to condemn you because it's a sin. It's saying, hey, here's the beauty of Jesus. That you can come to him a sinner. Ooh, Satan hates it. You can come to him a sinner. And he'll say, welcome. Just like you are. You say, no, you can't live this lifestyle and know God. Well, according to the scripture, you can't judge like that and know God. The truth is this. Hey, Jesus even looked at him. And in John 8, he said, if you trusted me, you would love me. If you knew God, you would love me. The fact that you're sitting here hating me, wanting to kill me, shows me you don't know God. That's what he's saying. So my light, can I mess with your heads for a second? All right, can we do this? I don't even know if it's possible. All right, Casey, you get the light switches. You get the magic button. Is that Travis? Travis, you get that. And on the count of three, everybody, I want you to look up. All right, at the ceiling. We're going to hit you with every light in the building. Full blast. Get all the slide bars up before you turn any lights on. You ready? There's like 15 switches up there. Hang on. Give them a second. All right, I'm going to count it down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. That's a little bit of a wow. Can I tell you this? Can I give you a truth? If you try to go from a person that never talked about Jesus to boom, you're going to be repulsive. You shove your religion down somebody's throat, and guess what they're going to do? I always say, if you shove your own finger down your throat and throw up the result, don't think your opinions are any different in somebody's life. Some people hate God because you're abusive with God. Jesus said this to them. I could start talking about you. I could condemn you. You don't believe it? John 8, I think it's verse 26. Let's read it. Are y'all good with this? I don't even know what time it is. My watch is dead. It's just really an accessory right now. John 8, verse 26. Verse 25 and 26. Jesus replied, "Who are you?" they demanded. Jesus replied, "The one I've always claimed to be. I have much to say about you and much to condemn. But I won't." Some of us need to write in our Bibles right there, "Thank you, God. I have much I could say about you and much I could condemn." Derek, is that true in your life? It's true in mine. Dale, is that true in your life? It's true in mine. Danny, Gigi, is that true in your life? Could God say a bunch about us? But I won't. "For I say only what I've heard from the one who sent me, and he is completely truthful." You know what he's saying? I could, but God didn't send me down here with a message of you. He sent me down with a message of him, and he loves you. And he cares for you. So when I come and I'm sharing my light shouldn't be abrasive. It should be hopeful. Helpful. doing something in my own life. I'm going to share it with you. I'm setting boundaries. I'm setting boundaries on what conversations I'm going to have. And some of you may not like that. Because I'm not going to allow the poison in my life anymore. Now, will I fail at this? Yes. But the truth is I can be having the best day in the world and somebody tell me what somebody else has said and that day is over. There needs to be a boundary. Jesus said, I'm not going to come and in the beginning of the chapter, I'm not going to throw a stone at them just because you say we should. Woman, where are your accusers? Does anyone accuse you? No, neither do I. Go and sin no more. That's where we should be. He's standing there and them saying, you're Satan. You're a demon. I got much I can say about you, but I could condemn you, but I won't. Because I'm not here to do that. I'm here so that you can have life. Am I right? Amen. Don't shine your light so you can expose others. Shine your light so others can find hope. Don't shine your light so that you can abuse others. Shine your light so others see a place they can go. Shine your light so that they can see that they could be accepted too. So that they don't have to walk in darkness too. So that they can stand up. So that they can get up. Be the light, church. Be the light. He's the light. Be the light. You got him. Put him in. Let him work. Hey, if you got a lamp that has no bulb, you got a worthless piece of art. You put a bulb in there and it can actually function. And I don't want to be a church that has a building that has, we're full. We don't even have the kids in the building. We're full of adults, which means there's probably how many, 50, 40 kids out there today? All right, and they're having their own church, and it's like, wow, there'll probably be 1,000 people come across the parking lot today. And every one of them seeking candy, except for the dentist office that's showing up that's probably going to be advertising toothbrushes, all right? But the thing is, while they're here, guess what we get to do? Be a light. We get to love on them. Some of your enemies may go through the line. Be a light. Some of the things that you can't stand, somebody might dress in a way that you think is inappropriate. Be a light. And by the way, if you don't like how they're dressed, don't look. You with me? Just don't look. It's not the time to come up and say, you should be like this. This is, I can't stand when I hear this statement. This is a church. You should behave like you're in church. And I'm like, no, this is a church. Amen. This is a building. Behave like you're in a building. You know, don't jump off the balcony because you wouldn't do that at UT, at a ball game. You shouldn't if you would. I mean, be smart. But the thing is it's like, oh, you spilled a coffee. We shouldn't have coffee or gum in church anyway. Come on. You want somebody to go to hell because you can't stand them blowing a bubble? Get over yourself. Are you with me? Why do you think we sang a hymn today? Number one, it was very appropriate and I love it. But there's been a few people that said, work some hymns in. So we talked about it. We shouldn't sit there and say, well, that ain't our style. Are we a contemporary music church? Yes. But just because that's who we are doesn't mean that we can't sing, hey, I surrender all. That's a good song, isn't it? We can't, the other week we did like 5 hymns in a row. You say, I missed it. Don't miss church. All right? That's it. No, you don't. But here's the thing. Should you do those? Yes. In a few weeks, we're going to sing a Toby Mac song. And some of you are going to be like, that's too beady. And I want you to remember, we sang a hymn. We were talking this morning, there's a group out there called Red. It's well beyond, how many of you have heard Red, the Christian group? I mean, they're heavy metal. You like them? Are you a heavy metal fan? Okay. It gives me a migraine. But here's the truth. Say it again. You what? You what them? That's a good thing. And so you know what? When I go to Winter Jam and they're singing, and to me it's like, what? To him, it's like, thank you, God. You know what? My light doesn't mean I have to look like everybody else and be like everybody else. My light just means everything I do should point to him. Now, brother, I'm going to tell you this now. Ain't no way we can pull off a Red song. I'm just going to tell you that. It'll be terrible. But you know what? Like, 2 weeks ago, I was having the worst day. It was just a bad day. And all of a sudden, my Apple Music on its own started playing The Goodness by Toby Mac. And here I am pouting. And here God is saying, I'm good. And all of a sudden that chorus starts saying, you're the goodness in my life. And I start realizing every good and perfect gift that I have is truly biblical. It came from above. Amen. The marriage I have, the kids I have, you, wow, you're divine. God's good. And so when we start, you know what? I literally in my car have not thumped another song. I landed at midnight from the airport on Friday morning, got in my car and cranked Toby Mac, the goodness. Why? I want to be reminded. He is a good God. So, hey, if I got to get on a skateboard to reach somebody, I'm going to sit on it and I'm going to get on a skateboard. Right? If I got to go to Trunk or Treat tonight, and even if it's a little bit of a drizzle, we're still going to do it. I'm going to do it. Why? Because that little boy or girl coming through needs a smile, needs a hug. That parent coming through says, man, you're doing a great job with your kids. Give compliments away more than candy tonight. Amen. Give love away more than anything. If you see somebody you haven't seen in a long time, be as excited as you possibly can be. Don't be fake. Be genuine. People know when you're not real, especially kids. They can dial you up. Be real. Hey, we've got a chance today to look at people and say, we love you. You know what? I do this. And some of you hate football. I'm not a Tennessee fan. And I hate them this year because of what they did to Alabama. But that's the thing. But they're so happy, Derek, that every now... I looked at Joe today on my way out the door. And I said, man, you got to be really happy today. On my way back, I'm repenting because I'm like, God, would you please just break a leg? Do something. Like, you know? Not Joe's. But the thing is we have a hard time. In our world, we start looking at darkness so much that we have a hard time celebrating the success of somebody else. We have a hard time being happy because somebody else is happy. You didn't get the new car, but somebody in the church did. And now you want to talk about how much money they make. No, be excited for them because the same God that blesses them blesses you. Amen. The same God that provides for them provides you. And you might not need the car. All right? They might not have needed the car. Be thankful you don't have the bill. Right? You don't have the debt. Are you with me? Why can't we celebrate? Being a part of the light says, hey, I want to see God's goodness all over you. I want to see God's best for you. Don't get jealous of the marriage that's getting back on their feet when yours isn't. Be thankful for that marriage and believe that the same God moving in it wants to move in you. And instead of trying to pursue them, pursue him. Hey, I am the light of the world. Say that with me. I am the light of the world. Change it. He is the light. Ready? He is the light. He is the light. Say it. He is the light. Follow him. And you won't have to be in darkness. But you'll have a light that'll lead to life. And not only will it lead your life to life, it'll lead others to it too. So let your light shine. So that they can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. If you are 5 minutes sober, let your light shine. You know, a good way to stay sober is talk about your sobriety. You know, a good way to stay married, talk about your spouse in a good way. Let's add that. Some of you are like, well, I should have a great marriage. No. In a good way. You know, you want to know how to be a good, healthy church? Talk about each other. God talk. Want the best for them. That is why we say this. Listen, if you want to go to a conference, you can't pay for it. See us. Make it happen. If you got a kid that you can't provide Christmas for, see us. We'll make it happen. You hear you don't have groceries? See her. She's already in place. I oftentimes wonder, does Frida stand up and go there because she wants me to shut up? Or is she just there? It's because I said my three times I'm done, right? But I know this. If she's not in that place, somebody else always is. Every service, we will stock you on groceries. Hey, listen. I'm praying this year, it's coming. This year's closing. Next year's coming. That we get more comfortable with our living rooms having other people in them. That we get more comfortable opening the Word of God. And by the way, a life group doesn't mean you have to lead as much as it means you have to nurture. You just have to be available. A life group's normally not one person doing all the talking. That's a Bible study. You need those too. A life group comes in and says, hey, I got kids. Anybody else got kids? Let's figure out how to do this kid thing. My wife hasn't slept in 14 days. Anybody else awake? Anybody else tired? Let's get together. Let's talk this out. Hey, you struggling with a hang-up, habit, or hurt? Show up on a Tuesday night. Let's talk. Hey, we have a good God. I'm not always good. He is. You're not always good. He is. So if you're going to shine something, let them see him. I promise you it'll change your life. Even greater, it'll change theirs.